Hello, everybody. As I promised from the previous early episodes, I always said I would bring experts. And this time around, I have Alicia Kapani. She is a mind-body mentor and a quantum health coach. So she helps people overcome severe depression through mind-body medicine. And now she will share some of her knowledge with us here on the show today. So I would like to introduce you, Alicia, and feel free to go ahead and also introduce yourself. Tell us a lot more, your certifications, how you qualified, and all of that. Over to you.
Thank you for having me. So I actually used to be a chemical engineer. So really long story how I got into healing. So then I have been mentored by experts in mind-body medicine. And then I also studied at Quantum University. So that's where I studied natural medicine. And that's where I became a quantum health coach. And I would say a majority of my experience comes from healing myself and then also like through my intuition. Like I'm just able to feel why someone is sick, but obviously studied the science behind self-healing and quantum physics and how our consciousness is creating your reality has really helped. And that's what got me interested in it in the first place, because I think I had such an analytical mind before that, like, I wasn't like spiritual at all. I wasn't like into this kind of stuff at all. But because I understood the science behind it and that your body is primarily energy and electromagnetic, I was like, oh, okay. And then it sort of started to land for me. And I just wanted to learn more about it and how I could use this to heal myself, which I did from a lot of different things, physical and mental illness. And yeah, that's the story on how I went from engineering to this.
That's amazing, because as you're speaking, it sounds like I'm listening to myself.
Oh, really?
Because I've also had like personal experiences that were really traumatic, I think even as early as childhood. And I realized that, wait a minute, this whole world that we're living in, this is not, I don't think that's how we're supposed to be, or this is the whole point of us just being in pain and like, you know, spiraling. So I took it upon myself to just like learn and go through that journey of just understanding how my body, mind works. And then I got to learn that we have an electric magnetic field around us, and, you know, it affects our internal and external and similar to other people as well, which is so interesting. So I want to introduce the topic today. It's how to cope with your wisdom to make better decisions, which I think it's very relevant based on both of our experiences, just, you know, figuring it out and healing. So yeah, please tell us more in depth, actually.
Yeah, so I would say one of the main reasons, there's like kind of two main reasons, but one of the main reasons I wasn't healing when I had severe depression for 5 years was because I wasn't listening to my wisdom. So I was just trying a bunch of things, hoping that something would work. And I was never tuning into my body and being like, what do you need? Because obviously there was something my body needed that it wasn't getting. I didn't know that back then. And so I kept just like outsourcing my power, I guess, and just being like, I'll try to work with this doctor, this practitioner, I'll try this modality, and was spending thousands of dollars every month trying to heal. Because if I was trying like multiple things at once, because at one point I was so desperate to heal that I was like, okay, let's try it all like now, you know, not try one thing and then see if it works and then try the next thing. Like, let's just do it all at the same time, you know,
because
You know, there were times where I was doing like acupuncture and hypnosis because the conventional medical system didn't help me at all. So then I started trying unconventional things. So I was doing like acupuncture and hypnosis, but I was doing that once a week for both. And like each session is like $200. So then it's like thousands of dollars every month, and like wasn't seeing any. And it was because I didn't even know how to tune into my wisdom or like what a yes or what a no feels like. And the only time that I ever saw relief is when I felt like a hell yes, when like I found my mentor, and when I heard her speak, it was like my whole body lit up and was like, you are working with her. And that was like a big deal, because at that time I had swore to myself I wasn't going to spend another penny on any healing modality, because I felt like I had tried everything and nothing was working. And I felt like I'd wasted so much money that I was like so resistant to spending any more money on healing. But for some reason, when I heard her speak, there was no question, there was no doubt. It was like, I'm working with you. And then healed from depression right after I just did her one of her DIY courses. And that's because, like, my body was telling me this is a yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think this is such an important topic, because most people don't tune into their wisdom for answers. They will just use, like, their mind, like what they've been taught, or they'll ask someone else that they think is an expert and outsource their power. But how can they can have maybe a guess on what your body needs, but your body knows exactly what you need. So if you want to cut, like, the time in half, if you want a shortcut, if you want to heal the fastest, like, let's just tune into your body's wisdom and ask what it needs and do what it is asking for. And then why would you not heal, you know?
Exactly. That is so true. And, like, thank you for sharing. I was going to ask you, like, what was the cause of your depression? Like, do you know what it is? Was it like a series of events? Was it like one big thing? Because for me personally, it was losing my mom through suicide. That was the... Yeah, it really messed me up for over 7 years. I was crippled by anxiety and depression, which almost like was the domino effect, you know, like one thing leading to the other. And then like a snowball effect of just like so many bad things happening. So what was yours? Can you identify what that is?
Yes, I know what it was. There was one main trigger. I was dating this guy and he had extreme anxiety. So, like, he's the kind of person that he would throw up every time he felt anxious. I'd never met anyone with anxiety like that intense, actually. And I knew that if I triggered him, that he would just leave me, because, you know, we were friends first. And so he would tell me all these stories that, like, he couldn't go on a second date with a girl because on the first date, he would feel so anxious. He would, like, when he's driving to the date, he would have to pull over and throw up. When he's at the date, he'd have to keep going to the bathroom to throw up. And it was just so uncomfortable. Like, you know what it feels like to throw up. It's like the worst feeling ever. So he's like, this is worth having love and connection in my life. Like, I'm just not going to date. And then he would never go on a second date. And I knew this about him before I started dating him. So I was like, oh my God, I cannot trigger this guy. Like, no matter how much he cares about me, like, he's gonna leave if I upset him. So that's what triggered the depression, because I was like suppressing everything I was feeling and thinking, and if I was upset or if I needed something from him or wanted something, like, I did not ask for it, and I acted like I was totally fine, and I was like, let's try to make the relationship just fun and playful all the time so that he'll never leave me. And then that's why I started having depression. Like, I was always suppressing how sensitive I was, like, my whole life. Mm-hmm. But this time I was doing it, like, to a whole other level. Like, you can never show that you're upset because he will leave you. So,
yeah, that was the truth. Oh, my gosh. That must have been terrible. Okay, so I want to dig deep into quantum health coaching. Can you tell us a little bit more, especially for somebody who doesn't know what that is?
I would say that means shifting your consciousness in order to heal. So, like, if your consciousness is creating your reality, and by consciousness I mean like your inner state, so the emotions you're carrying, the beliefs you're carrying, that's what's creating your reality. So if you're seeing a problem in your life, whether it's like a health concern or just any problem, it could be in your career, it could be in your relationships, it's just the world reflecting back to you the energies and the beliefs that you're carrying. So it's like information, right? So in order to heal, you can't be in the same consciousness where the problem got created, as Einstein says. So you have to come into even like 2% higher consciousness than where the problem got created for either the solution to show up or for the problem to just go away. One of those two things has to happen when you're no longer in the same consciousness as the problem. And you don't even have to heal all of the energy. You don't have to change all of your beliefs. You don't have to dissolve all of that energy to come into just a slightly higher consciousness than where the problem got created and have the problem go away. Like, I started healing right away. Like, when I first found mind-body medicine, I didn't know I was shifting my consciousness. I was just like doing these mind-body tools. And then within a week of just doing this tool like every day, my whole reality started to shift because I was no longer in the same consciousness I was before. So like I couldn't be in the same job anymore either. Like they had moved me from this like really toxic job where there was like a lot of bullying and harassment and like so many people got fired. And like it was like it's known as like the worst project that our company ever had. And I was on that project because I was a match for that energy at that time. That's when I had severe depression. So I was just like, had these really dense energies. So I was a match for that. And then after like a week of doing this healing work, they just moved me to the office. They moved me to a different project, different team, was no longer in the field. I didn't even have to ask. And it's just like, I didn't realize it at the time, like how quick your reality changes when you are just in a different consciousness. So that's what I would say quantum healing is you're shifting your consciousness.
Yeah, that is so true, because even these days now on like TikTok, we have the buzzword quantum leaps and like quantum jumping. And it's essentially just shifting your consciousness to start vibrating and, you know, align with the frequencies that are matching your desires. So I think it's almost like there are people that are really great at doing this. Like, for example, I went to the Mind Valley summit. I'm sure you are aware of Mind Valley, right? Yes, with like Vision and everybody else. And it was such an amazing experience because you get to meet these people. Like I met Regan Helia. She's like a master manifester. And just being around her, like you can literally feel the energy. Like, oh my gosh, this person's energetic field is like amazing. So do you kind of have any skills or tools that you can share with the audience? For example, having people understand that it is how you feel that kind of shapes your energetic field and how your subconscious and your nervous system, like there's so many things, but like I want you to proceed with sharing that.
I do have like a go-to mind body tool, and I call it the ABC tool, because there's three steps: awareness, breath, conscious choice. And the first step is awareness, which means you need to bring more awareness to what you're feeling and experiencing instead of less. Most people are doing the opposite, and that's why they're not healing. They're like, I feel like shit. I don't want to feel this. So let's do whatever we can not to feel this, whether that's like I stay busy, I stay distracted, I numb out, I have more alcohol, I have more drugs, like whatever your thing is, spend more time with friends, travel more, like anything that you might think, I'm not suppressing, I'm just doing something that makes me feel better. But if you're doing it to not feel what you're feeling, that is suppression. So we need to bring more awareness to what you're feeling. And the reason is because your body already knows how to transmute energy. That's like one of the three main functions of your energy body. It's a transmitter, it's a receptor, it's a transmuter. So it's natural. When you're not resisting your emotions, your body will just release them for you. It already knows how to do it. So when you're bringing more awareness to what you're feeling, you're not in resistance. Even if it's like 30 seconds of like tuning in and being like, okay, like where do I feel this in my body? Or like on a scale of 1 to 10, like how intense is this? Or like, does it feel really like dense? Or does it feel like hollow? And to be honest, the question or the answer to the question doesn't matter. It's just that while you're asking the questions and figuring out, oh, I guess it is kind of like a 9 out of 10 right now. That was like 10 seconds right there that you didn't resist what you were feeling. And that's why it's so powerful. That was 10 seconds that you allowed your body to do what it naturally does, which is dissolve emotions. So I've been doing this for so long that I don't have to ask those questions anymore. But when I first started, like I would ask those type of questions as a way to bring more awareness, because I wasn't used to bringing my awareness within. It was always like, you know, external. So now I just immediately go to where do I feel it in my body? Because if you're triggered, you feel it in your body. Otherwise, you wouldn't be triggered. You feel perfectly fine.
True.
So awareness is the first step. And then breath. And by breath, I mean slower, deeper, conscious breaths, like to get you in your parasympathetic nervous system state, your relaxed rest and digest state. Or again, we're allowing your body to do what it naturally knows how to do, which is heal itself. So that's why it's important. Because I hear people say all the time, like, oh, I'm doing the breathing thing and like, it's not working. Like, I still feel terrible. First of all, awareness is the most important part. You need to do that first. Or you can even do A and B at the same time. Now I've been doing it for so long. I just, while I'm bringing awareness, I'm already breathing slower, deeper belly breaths. But I would say for people that say breath is not enough for me, it's not transmuting anything, I still feel terrible. Mm-hmm. It's you're doing it to make your pain go away. So your body can tell the difference between conditional and unconditional love. You're not actually bringing loving awareness and attention to your body. You're just like, okay, I'll breathe and it better go away in 5 minutes. And if not, I'm not giving myself more loving attention. But mm-hmm. the reason you are sick is because your body needs more loving attention. So that's not going to happen if you're not truly giving that to yourself. And right. then part C is conscious choice. Conscious choice would be like kind of having bigger picture awareness on what's really happening here and reminding yourself of that. Like, well, there's no real threat here, you know, or it's not actually true what I'm experiencing, or like, it's kind of like an affirmation. Like you can think of it like that, or like, I choose to relax my body. I choose to be at peace now. You're just making a choice to bring in more lightness. Mm. And a lot of people only do part C. They're like just doing the affirmations or just trying to see things differently or just trying to do more of the masculine approach and like just kind of change their thoughts. Like, well, this person is making me feel unwanted, but like, it's not true that I'm not wanted. Like, it's just that they didn't want me or something. You know what I mean? So they're like, they're trying to see it differently so that they're not upset. But then you don't transmute any energy, right? Like if you're feeling unwanted, that's hitting on a deep wound that you need to heal. And by you just ice cream on top of poop and saying like, oh, that's their problem if they don't want me, like they're just missing out. Like you're not healing anything, you know what I mean? But if you bring that in after you've brought awareness, you've brought in the breath, you've dissolved some of it, and then you remind yourself of the truth, like, yeah, I choose that I am wanted and deserving of having love and attention or you know, that type of thing. Yeah, you can bring that choice in after to really like amplify the lightness that you're already feeling. But you have to do like the feminine approach before the masculine approach. I do have like a guided meditation version of this for anyone that wants it. It's just on my Instagram account. But yeah, it's three steps. A, B, C. Awareness, breath, conscious choice.
Awesome. I love how it's so simple. And I have a question, and this is based on just awareness, because there are people that are empaths, right? Mm-hmm. What is like the best way for them to just exist and still be in a space where they can quantum jump, quantum leaps apart from their surroundings, because they are empaths? So sometimes I think it takes a lot of time for you to learn and know, have that awareness, and then kind of protect yourself, but then it's also just who you are. So obviously their external environments or wherever they could be affects their quantum environment. Am I right? So what's the advice there for them?
Yeah, this is a really interesting topic. There's a lot of things to say about it. First of all, if you're an empath that's taking, you feel like you're taking on other people's stuff, or after you spend time with them, like even if you're like a healer and let's say you have a session and then after you feel heavy, that means you have some beliefs that like that person is not as resourced, not as capable. They need you. You're their source. And so that's why you are taking it on. I've never in my life, even though I'm an empath, taken on someone else's energy. And that's just because I truly believe everyone is just as source and just as powerful as me. And so I don't actually look at them as, I don't know, incapable or anything like that. I look at them as they're very powerful and that I'm just bringing them back to their own power. So I personally have never taken anything on. I can feel other people's energy and other people's pain, but I don't take it on. I just have it as like awareness. Like, okay, I can feel this belief you're carrying, this is the energy you're carrying, but it just feels like awareness that I feel temporarily and it doesn't like stay there. So for anyone that is happening, like we need to do some belief work, as I would call it. So theta healing is like another method that I use where you essentially connect with creator consciousness to get into a theta brainwave state, and then you reprogram your subconscious mind. But you do it like, it's not like hypnosis where you have like guesswork, like, okay, I think I'm carrying this belief, so let's try to like put the opposite belief in there. It's not like you ask the creator, what's the bottom belief? Where did this start? The creator will tell you. The creator will tell you pull this belief. The creator will tell you what belief to replace it with. So that's like the root cause for someone that like really wants to like stop taking on other people's energy. But for now, even just try to go into your interactions with these people as seeing them as powerful and like they're just as sourced as you. We're all made out of the same energy, came from the same source. They're That's not true. Different. You know what I mean? And what you're saying about your environment affecting your reality, yes. And it's also like a chicken before the egg, because if your consciousness is creating your reality, the people you're attracting are a reflection of you in some way. You're carrying similar energies. Theirs might be more dense than yours, but they're still the same energy. So they're maybe just like a blown up caricature to show you like, hey, you're still carrying this, right? You might think you already healed this, but there's still some left. So then the universe will bring one in that's like, you know, you're like thinking, I'm nothing like this person. But that's just because they're a blown up version. Otherwise, you would have no clue you're still carrying the same energy as them. So it's a mixture of like, let's say you want a quantum jump, as people say, right? Yes. You're like, oh, well, if these are the people showing up in my reality and this is not really what I'm wanting, but this is all that's showing up, like, what can I do, right? So if you can like try to seek out someone that is already the embodiment of what you're looking for, so either they've already healed what you want to heal, if it's wealth you're trying to increase, like they're significantly more wealthy than you, and trying to be in their energy. So whether that's like hiring them as a mentor, or maybe they're fine with you just like taking them out for coffee, but you know, I would recommend hiring them as a mentor because you want them to be in like your top five. Like if you only spend an hour with them, but you spend hundreds of hours with other people, it's going to have like a very limited impact. So like try to spend as much time as possible, because you're only going to attract people that are in the same consciousness as you. So for you to like quantum leap, you either need to be doing the healing work, that's most important, or like also spending time with people who have already done the healing work.
Wow, that is so like deep and so like powerful in a way, because I feel like the life we're living now, everything is out in the open. Before, we did not know the science behind how our nervous system is connected to our heart and brain, and how that affects our decisions and how we see life and how our reality comes, you know, into fruition. But I feel like with all this education and all this knowledge coming out every single day, it's also such a big and positive thing that people have that awareness now, and they kind of use it to their own personal growth, you know, like to make their lives even better every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. It's much more mainstream now than it was before. You can tell, like, even, I don't know if you watch Big Brother or anything like that, but they always have one of every like stereotypical type of person in the house, because they want the people watching to like have someone to connect with. Mm. And for the past 5 years, they've always had like a spiritual person, and that was like never there before. So that's how you can tell, like, it's definitely more mainstream now.
I never watched Big Brother. I have no idea what's happening on there. I do know it exists, but it's actually really fascinating. Wow. Okay. It's really fascinating. Okay, another question. I think we have like 2-3 minutes left before we come to the end of this discussion. It's crazy how time just flew by, but I love how this conversation is going. So the question is, when it comes to religion, right? Because I was born a Christian, and I still am a believer of Christ, and I believe in the Christ consciousness. Because I feel like following the Bible, yes, it's imprinted in my head. I think for 4 years I was studying a religious study. So I kind of know from Genesis all the way to like Revelation. So I know what the Bible says. However, I feel like we have other religions as well. And all of those religions believe in God. I have my own theories, right? Like those other theories that you can find on the TikTok rabbit hole. I don't really believe in most of them, but I am aware. So what I want to ask is, when it comes to this particular scientific understanding of how we are as human beings versus to what religion teaches. What mm-hmm. is the best advice you can give somebody who's listening? Maybe they are confused. Maybe they are awakening for the first time. I had my first awakening in 2018. So I'm almost like a, you know, I'm a gladiator level, like I'm running. But for somebody who is just awakening now, what is like that advice that you can give to them so they can have like a soft landing? Because what happens with this whole scientific and, you know, spirituality is if you don't really know what you're doing, oh my gosh, it could, you know, you could have realities that you don't want to experience. So what is your advice to those people?
Yeah. So I would say that, like, if we all cleared all of our, like, programming, like, limiting beliefs, I think we would all know the same truth.
Yes.
We would just, we would maybe word it differently, but we would all know the same truth. So no matter what religion you are, there is some truth to each of them. There's no way that every single one of them can be 100% truth because they're so different. Yes. But it's because your beliefs are creating your reality. So if you believe that this is bad and wrong, then that's what you're going to see, right? Because again, your consciousness is creating your reality. And I don't know if you've ever read Power versus Force, but it's essentially a book about this doctor who calibrated all these different energies, right? So like shame is like the lowest energy a human being can feel. And then it's like, you know, guilt and apathy, anger, etc. They also calibrated all the religions. And they said that like over the years, because there's been like misinterpretations from the Bible and all these types of things, that every religion has dropped in consciousness and vibration from the original like scripture. And they also said that the one that's dropped the least was actually Buddhism. The one that even started off like the lowest was actually like Islam. So meaning like there's some things there that just aren't 100% true. They aren't highest vibration of like pure love, you know? And so, yeah, you can calibrate this. But essentially what I'm trying to say is like, we would all know the same truth, and there is like a little bit of truth to each one. And like, I would say to someone, really feel into, does it feel heavy or light to have this belief? You know what I mean? So like, for example, if you believe in heaven and hell, I want you to really feel into like, does it feel light or heavy to believe that, oh my God, if I don't actually like repent all my sins in this lifetime, that I'm screwed forever? You know, like, does that feel light or heavy to you? For me, that feels really heavy because I'm here, someone who's so committed to healing. I don't know anyone else that's more committed to healing than me. And I still don't know if I'm going to heal everything in this lifetime, you know, and I believe that I've had multiple lifetimes and I still haven't healed everything. And that's why I keep choosing to come back. That feels light to me, that like I can do the best I can in this life. And if I don't do all of it in this lifetime, I will have another opportunity if I want it. That feels light to me, you know? So I would just say, really tune into, does this feel light or heavy? Because your religion could be limiting your ability to heal. If you think like, you know, certain things are bad or wrong, I shouldn't be doing this, I shouldn't be doing that, like that could be the exact reason why you're sick, is because you're not aligning with truth and your body's trying to let you know, like, you don't have to be so hard on yourself. You don't have to put so much pressure on yourself, or, you know, like that's just one example. Does that answer your question?
Yes, I think it does. And it also gives the audience food for thought, because essentially what you're saying is true. Like, I know that even the Bible as it is, there are some books that were taken out. Whoever that decided to take those books out, if I were to travel back in time and ask them, I wouldn't know. However, there's just so much hearsay, like, oh, it was because of this, or it was because of that. And at the end of the day, we don't know if it was for empowerment or if it was for control. So now we are here and we have communities that are raised with this kind of belief. And I think as time goes, even with our generation, right, we're not going to be here forever. I think we will reach a certain stage where we will all die. And all the generations that are going to come, they will know about AI. They will know about Calendly. They will know about Gmail. But then their version of knowing all of those things is not going to be as original as it is right now, you know? And whoever that passes on the information determines the narrative, right? So I guess we leave that open and people can drop into the comments and ask, you know, or share their thoughts, because it's quite interesting to just know that, hey, okay, all right, well, you decide how you want to believe or what you want to believe in. Okay, yeah. So I usually, if you want to add more, I do have just two more questions left before we come to a close. So the first one is, we usually do this to all the guests. It's a fun exercise. So is there something that Alicia Kapani did or experienced that only you know that you'll be saying here for the first time? What is that one thing? It can be funny, it can be cute, it can be whatever, but it's something about your life that nobody really knows. Yeah.
Okay. I guess I don't really share this that often, but I used to have like really dark daydreams. Like I would daydream all the time.
Ooh,
but like dreams were always like something bad is happening to me as a way to get love and attention. So it would be like someone I like or someone I have a crush on is like experiencing that I'm going through something hard because I want to get love and attention from this person. And it's like the only way I'll get it is if it looks like I need it. You know what I mean? So I used to have all really dark daydreams and now I don't. Like when I daydream, it's always like, I don't know. It's just like different. Like, yeah. But yeah, I haven't admitted that to people that like those are the type of things I daydream about. I feel like other people daydream about manifesting what they want. And like my dreams, like, no, I need something back into me to get love. And it was just like really messed up.
Yeah. Ah, speaking of dreams, that's actually quite a interesting topic as well. I don't know if maybe one of the guests that will come about will suggest the topic, but I think it's really important for us to know where they come from, because from time to time, I'm always trying to understand, like, is it a subconscious thing? Is it like a vision? Is it like past related? Like, what is it? You know,
I'm not an expert, but I did meet someone who is like a dream interpretation. Like she has like courses on dream interpretation. I was going to take it, but then I realized like ChatGPT is so good. Like I'll wake up, tell it my dream, ask it to, you know, be like, explain it to me and why this happened. And so to me, it does seem like your subconscious is trying to tell you something. But again, I'm definitely no expert in it. But every time I ask ChatGPT, like, why would I dream about this? It is always so spot on and relevant to like what's going on in my life. And without me asking ChatGPT, I don't think I would be able to figure that out. Like, it's really weird things. Like, you know, I had a dream where like I'm in my pajamas and everyone else is like dressed up. And I'm like, what the hell is that about? You know, and it was like, you feel underprepared, not like, you know, not ready for this particular thing. And it was about relationships. You feel not ready to be in, you know, a serious relationship or.
Yeah.
I had one dream that was like my ex-boyfriend was at my door and rang the doorbell. But right before he rang the doorbell, I had to poop. So he just had to sit there and wait for me to finish pooping before I could open the door. And I was like, that is so weird. I asked ChatGPT, they're like, you have to do like a release and a dump before you can let love in. There's like more you need to release.
You
had to literally stand there and wait till I was done releasing before I could let him in. I was like, oh, this makes so much sense. Like, so anyways, yeah, I'm sure we can ask ChatGPT these questions that you're wondering, but if you get someone on here to talk about dreams, I would listen to that for sure.
I would love to have somebody on the show talking about dreams. That'll be so fascinating. All right, cool. Thank you so much, Alicia. I had such an amazing time connecting and chatting with you. Where can people find you if they want to follow you? Can you share your Instagram and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, my website is aliciakapani.com, just first name, last name.com. Instagram, Alicia_Kapani. And that's pretty much all my social media handles. The place I hang out the most is Instagram. And that's where like the link in my bio has all my free resources. That ABC tool I mentioned earlier, I have like a free guided version of that. That was like my go-to tool that helped me with depression and that I still use to this day. So if you wanted that free meditation, that's where you can find it.
Okay, cool. I'll definitely check it out after this. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. And to you listeners, thank you for tuning in today. I think today's topic was really fun, just like any other topic anyway. So make sure you come every Friday for all these videos that we have experts on the show. Make sure you like, make sure you rate the show and leave a review or even share it with your friends and tag them over so they can come and see all of this content as well. As any questions that you might have, or if you have any suggested topics, feel free to add them too. So thank you once again, Alicia. I look forward to speaking to you hopefully soon. And yeah, you should enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. It was such a fun conversation. Thanks for having me.